Exodus 23. The message tonight is the demands that God makes upon His redeemed. His demands of those redeemed in the Old Testament and the New. But I'm thinking that I will simply tell you about the demands in the Old Testament tonight, and perhaps next Lord's Day evening, the demands He makes upon His redeemed in the New Testament. Chapter 23, verse 14. Three times shalt thou keep a feast unto me in the year. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep 7 days. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee, at the time appointed in the month Aviv. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruit of thy labors, which thou sowest in the field, and the feast of ingathering, at the end of the year, when thou gatherest in thy labors out of the field, three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Now, chapter 34, verse 20. And the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break its neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem. And none shall appear before me empty. Verse 22. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, even of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Three times in the year shall all thy males appear before the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, notice this. For I will cast out nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land, when thou goest up to appear before the Lord thy God three times in the year. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. And I'm going to read you one more in 2 Chronicles. Turn there, 2 Chronicles chapter 8, and look at verse 13. Even the beauty of every day required, offering according to the commandment of Moses, on the Sabbath, and on the new moon, and on the set feasts, three times in the year, even the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for all the control that is contained in thy word pertaining to our lives. Our God, we are well aware of how one who had a master whom he loved was unwilling to be parted from that master, a slave unwilling to be freed from his slavery. And our God, we rejoice that these things are true in the hearts of those that love thee, and all the duties that accompany those slaves that were devoted to thee, we are thankful that thou dost place such things upon us, and they rejoice our hearts. We simply desire, our God, to be those servants who know the will of our Lord. we remember what thy son said concerning this. And that servant who knew his Lord's will, but did it not, shall be beaten with many stripes. But that servant who knew not his Lord's will, and did it not, shall be beaten with few stripes. Our Father, we pray that we shall understand what is thy will, so that when we stand before thee, there shall be no beating, our God, but there shall be the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We thank you for this day, the fellowship of the saints, the remembering of thy Son. And now, at the close of the day, our Father, we are together again, and thy word has been read, and now we desire to hear it expounded as thy Spirit enables. Grant that blessing, Father. Empower the lips of him who speaks, prepare the hearts of those who listen, and as thou hast promised, if we confess our sins, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. So, do that, our God, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The God who did the redeeming demanded the attending. Remember that. If in the Old Testament you were among those who remained in Egypt and did not, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, go forth toward the promised land, then there were no demands of God upon you. You were born in Egypt, you lived in Egypt, you died in Egypt. There was no hope of the promised land. But if you accepted the redemption that God provided, then the God who wrought redemption demanded attendance in a prescribed way at prescribed seasons, and he sets it forth again and again and again and again in his word. And I read you in the Pentateuch 3 times, and then so many 100 years later, without variation, I read it to you in the days of Solomon when the temple was built. This same attendance was required of the children of Israel. It was never ended until what time the veil of the temple was rent, and then it was no longer the Jewish Passover, but it was Christ, our Passover, had been sacrificed. But until then, there were demands placed by God upon all the redeemed of Israel, and among those demands, specifically, 3 meetings were mentioned. And I want us to start taking to heart the things that were written for Israel and the way that they are associated with us. And then in the will of God next week, I will tell you specifically how the Lord has demands upon us, the redeemed of the New Testament. But tonight, simply telling us about the demands of those redeemed in the Old Testament, and then seeing next week how we can build upon that, the old, the new, as well. The first thing is this, that when once an Israelite was redeemed, attendance upon specific feasts that God had ordained was not optional, it was demanded. If we could get that principle in our minds, the people of God today, for them ever to think, well, there is a remembrance meeting. I may attend, I may not. There is a ministry meeting. There is a prayer meeting. I wonder, I may. Such thought never was allowed to enter the mind of the redeemed of God in the Old Testament. It was not when some of the tribes who lived close to the place where God was going to cause his name to dwell, said, yes, we enjoy going to this feast. No inconvenience at all. But those that lived great distances from Israel, they did not say, well, I believe that this demand that God has made upon us is too great. Certainly he could not expect us to travel up and down the length of Israel to Jerusalem to attend this feast. I am not going to attend that feast. God did not allow that thought to enter the minds of the male in Israel. And yet, it has entered our minds today. I'll bring this to your attention now, that the demand for attendance was not optional, but it was demanded. To show how strongly it was enforced, if you did not attend, you were no longer a part of the nation of Israel. That is brought out in Numbers chapter 9. And at the same time, a beautiful heart condition of some of the Israelites is brought out as well when this happened. In the second year, in the first month, on the 14th day, the Passover was to be observed. And the Israelites made ready to observe the Passover. But when that day came round, there were some of the Israelites that were unclean, and therefore they were not permitted to attend the feast of the Passover. Now, some people today would rejoice, "Oh no, I was unclean. I was in no condition to attend that Passover. Therefore, I shall wait until next year." I would like to see this demand entering into the hearts of God's people today, because when they miss the meeting, it is something that could not be helped. But when these who were unclean missed the meeting, they went to Moses and they said, "We want to attend that Passover, and our uncleanness made it impossible for us to attend. We want to attend the Passover." And Moses said, "I will go into the presence of God and ask him what shall be done about it." And God said, "For those who are unclean and cannot attend the Passover in the first month on the 14th day, then I ordain that in the second month on the 14th day, they may attend and observe the Passover." Thank God for those with a heart who are not wearied and who do not complain, as in the book of Malachi. What a weariness it is. But their complaint is this: "Lord, I was inconvenienced, and it was impossible for me to attend that Passover in the first month. I want to attend the Passover." God said, "Then I will arrange another date for you." But remember this. I mentioned their uncleanness, and you're liable to say, "Well, if they were unclean, they did not deserve to attend the Passover. They should be cast out, and they should have to wait a whole year before they can observe the Passover." No, because their uncleanness was not brought upon them of themselves, but by accident. It is like this. If you were attending a sick father or mother in the tent, and that father or mother died, then immediately, because you were in a tent where death occurred, for 7 days you were unclean. And if one of those 7 days occurred in the first month on the 14th day, you were not permitted to attend the Passover. And not only so, but if this mother or father was sick and died, and other relatives came to see what the physical condition of that mother was and entered into the tent after she was dead, they were defiled, and they were not permitted to attend the Passover. And so the uncleanness was not brought upon them because of a sin, but, as the Lord Jesus says concerning the Good Samaritan, "And by chance," he says, "by chance they were in the presence of death, and they were rendered unclean, or they came out of compassion to visit a sick one, and this sick one had died, and they became unclean, and therefore they were not permitted to observe the Passover." And they said, "We regret this because of our attendance to our loved ones and friends. We are rendered unclean." And God said, "Then I give you a chance just a month in the future to attend the Passover again." All right. Understand this, that whereas God demanded that the Israelites attend these three feasts. It was not that they could come any way that they pleased, any place that they chose, or in any condition of body and soul that they pleased. There were conditions that must be met before they could attend the Passover. And this is what is so remarkable among the people of God today. Saying, well, if unsaved come and observe the Lord's Supper, what harm is done? The picture is this in the Old Testament. God said, if a stranger comes into your midst, until that man is circumcised, he is not permitted to observe any of the feasts that I have ordained. And if you read in Colossians 2, you will see that this circumcision, the uncircumcision of the heart, is a picture of an unregenerate man, one who has not been redeemed. And therefore, no matter how much that man wanted to attend, and no matter how grievous it would be to you to offend that man by saying, you cannot attend our feast, God said, the uncircumcised shall not attend. And this is what I've seen. I've seen Christians bring unsaved friends in, and they would invite them to the Lord's Supper without explaining to them that this is not a meeting for them. This is a meeting for those who have been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. And therefore, if you bring an unsaved friend, make sure that you tell him that unless he has been born again and unless he is clean in life, he is not permitted to partake of these elements. Because it is a privilege as well as a demand that one attend this feast. And therefore, just as you have friends, and I've seen this so often, God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But a friend drops in and you say, oh, well, he dropped in and it was time to go to meeting, but I could not leave that friend. I see. You could forsake God's demand, but you could not leave that friend. Oh, no, it would be a discourteous thing to do. I see. Keep in mind that God says, you must be there. And your friend comes in and you say, but for friendship, I will remain home. God would not tolerate such a thing. Such an excuse was impossible. The only excuse was this, that you were on a journey, you were unclean. Other than that, God said, you must attend. And if you do not attend, you shall be cut off from the children of Israel. And I'm thinking of this today. If we as Christians were demanded of God to attend the meetings that he has enjoined in the scripture, and we decided not to come upon a whim, upon an unreasonable demand of God, and we would be removed from all fellowship from the people of God, I wonder how many more would attend the meetings than they do now. But our attitude is this. It really doesn't matter. Just recently I had a man to say this. He hadn't been attending the meetings, and when it was brought to his attention, he said, attending meetings isn't everything. No, it isn't everything. But it's part of everything that God requires. And God requires you to love him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And it isn't everything, but it's a part of everything that God demands. And he does not put it in a euphemistical way, but he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And in Israel, just as the meeting must be attended, or if there was not an excuse that was legitimate, the Israelite was cut off from the nation of Israel, so in like manner, if adultery was committed, then that man was stoned. It shows what God thought about the sin of adultery. But today, adultery, divorce, premarital sex, why, those things are practiced on every hand. Read in God's Word his estimate of the sin that people are committing today and then, and you will understand the seriousness of it, the gravity of it, and your attitude will not be that of the age in which you live. You will not be conformed to this age, but you will be transformed. And the Israelites had no option. God said, you will be there. All right. First of all, it was a privilege. Because when God demands attendance at a feast. It is reasonable because God has redeemed your soul, and even the Apostle Paul says in the Epistle to Philemon, he said, I'm making a request of you. He said, however, I bring this to your attention, that you not only owe me what I'm asking for, but you owe me your own self besides. Why? Because I was the one who led you to the Lord Jesus. Now you owe eternal bliss to me, being used of God to save your soul. And if this is so concerning a man who renders the truth of salvation to us, how much more to the God who gave his only begotten Son, how much more do we owe that to him? And so for that reason, those in Numbers 9 said, we, because of uncleanness, not our own, it happened to us. We've got to remember the Passover. Then God said, I will arrange a special Passover for you. And so remember that this is your attitude. Your attitude of, I must be there. I must. And the only thing that's going to keep me away is that I am physically unable to get there. Or else I am rendered unclean and God forbids me to be there. Remember that God is not like some men. There are some people who do things for you, and you go to thank them, and they say, forget it. God never says, forget it. God says, remember it, and never forget it. That's the difference in man and God. You say, well, God, it isn't important. My friends say, forget it. God says, you will never forget it. When the Passover is observed, he said, you shall remember. And having remembered, God says, this is the time and the place that you shall remember. All right, let me tell you these other things that were necessary. When you went there, you had controlled emotions. Will you remember that? There was a great difference in a controlled emotion and a contrived emotion. There were seven feasts that Israel had to observe. Three of them they had to attend. There were seven, perhaps more about that in a moment. But when they came to a feast, they did not behave in the feast the way that they were feeling. When Naomi returned, they said, here is Naomi. She said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. And therefore, here was sorrow of heart. This was her inward feeling when she returned home from a foreign land. You can understand her feeling. But God said, there is the Passover, and there is the Feast of Weeks, and there is the Feast of Tabernacles. There is the Day of Atonement. And this is what God said. He said, on the Day of Atonement, he said, every man shall afflict his soul. And if that man shall not afflict his soul, he shall be cut off from the children of Israel. And suppose on the Day of Atonement, you were filled with cheer and gladness. You did not come singing songs of joy on the Day of Atonement. God said, you shall afflict your soul. And if you will not afflict your soul, then you shall be cut off from the children of Israel. What's it mean? It means that you understand the significance of the feast that you are attending, and you adapt your feelings to the feast that is being celebrated. Therefore, we have controlled feelings, not contrived feelings. I'm told that there were professional mourners in the past and in the present that can go and can shed tears in abundance. They know all the phraseology to utter, and if you went to a home in which a death had occurred and these professional mourners were there, as soon as you heard them and looked at them, why, sadness would fill your heart. That is contrived, you understand. But there is such a thing as controlled feelings. And on the Day of Atonement, every man should afflict his soul. A feeling of sadness, of affliction, of abasement. Keep that in mind. However, when it came to the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Tabernacles, God said, during this feast, you shall rejoice before me 7 days. And so, what had happened to poor Naomi when she came home, and if she with a husband that she might have was attending this feast, what would she do when she said, my name is Mara, my name is bitterness? God said, put that bitterness away, and you will rejoice before me 7 days. Now, that means much to us. There are some Christians who have moods, who have feelings, and it is not desirable to be around them, and they feel that way. But what God says is this, gird up your loins like a man. And so there are times when there is weakness and sadness, and God says, gird up your loins like a man. And it says in the New Testament, bringing every thought in subjection to obedience of Christ, and therefore you can bring these thoughts. You cannot forbid Satan from putting temptations in your mind, but you can refuse to dwell upon them, because there entered the mind of Christ this temptation, fall down and worship Satan. He put it in Christ's mind, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them. And the Lord Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But some would let that thought enter their minds and stay there. As it says concerning Judas, it says, Satan, having put into the heart of Judas to betray the Lord, and that thought was put there, and it remained there. And finally, that thought took possession of him, and then it said, Satan entered Judas. And the Lord said to him, what thou doest, do quickly. And he went out, and it was night. And so remember that when the Israelite attended a feast, he must understand the nature of that feast. And if it was a feast like the Passover, he had to eat the bread of affliction. He had to eat bitter herbs. The nature of the Feast of the Passover was entirely different from the nature of the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles. God said, you eat the bread of affliction. You eat bitter herbs. And then God said, you rejoice before me 7 days. And some people have never understood that. And I'm longing to apply that to us and the demands God makes upon us. And that is what I shall do in the will of God next week. But remember that even at this time, there were feasts, and a certain feeling, an attitude of heart must be taken to that feast. And if it is, God's Spirit will enable you to maintain that attitude. And whereas you must control yourself at first, I venture to say that then the Spirit of God would make that control become a reality. And then the way that God wanted you to feel. Understand that. There are ways that God wants you to feel. Bitterness and affliction. Yes, God wants you to feel those emotions. And rejoicing, yes, God wants you to feel those emotions. And God says, that is why I ordained these 7 feasts, and I want you to attend them, and I want you to feel this way at this feast, and I want you to feel this way at this feast. And therefore, if you as Christians attend meetings, you must take it to heart that we also are to come with certain feelings. Now this, God says, first of all, you must be there. You must be clean when you come. You must have the right attitude when you come. And he says, you shall not appear before me empty. And therefore, there might be an Israelite who was clean, who had the right attitude, and who was present at the feast, but he was there empty. And God says, I will not tolerate. He said, I who redeemed your soul, I who have blessed you in agriculture, in the crops, in the rain, in the sunshine, he said, I forbid you to appear before me empty. Therefore, God looks at us when we come before him, the same as the Lord Jesus was watching those who cast into the treasury, and some would not give, but others would did. And that widow who cast in her two mites, the Lord Jesus was so impressed, he said, this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. And in like manner, the Israelite who came and attended the feast, and I've seen so many Christians today who can talk big words, but when it comes to giving anything to God, they appear before God empty. And in like manner, the Israelite might have that tendency. But God said, it is not going to happen in my case. And at the same time, in the book of Malachi, there are always those Christians who go through the demands of God. I'm there. I haven't been defiled. Yes, I'm acting as my soul is afflicted, and I brought you something. And God would look at what was brought. And he said, well, that animal is diseased. It has no horns. It has no hoof. But I didn't come empty. God said, I do not want that. And when they brought something to God, it had to be the best they had. And so God makes demands upon his redeemed. And I told you of some of them in the Old Testament. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are glad that we are not our own. We are glad that having saved us, you've given us so many things to do on earth, not only providing for our own households, but we thank you for all the religious meetings that you have set before us. We are glad for what we can learn from those in Israel, and we look forward to those things that we can learn about those that are ours in the days to come. So bless these thoughts to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.